Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. I believe God is calling a people to commit themselves totally to Him and to show forth His glory in the earth. You know, last week I talked about from 2 Peter 1, 2, and it's a verse that God has given for 2025. And Peter says, "Their grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So grace and peace multiply to us. Grace is God's divine favor. I talked about in the Hebrew language, five is the meaning of the word five is favor. So five is a season of favor that God has given us. So 2025 is a scene of God's multiplied grace or favor. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you, how? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So this is a year of God's favor, but God's favor increases as we grow in the knowledge of God. So God is wanting to do something in something special in 2025 for those who will seek His face and know His ways. You know, lately I've been praying for the Congo. I've been following the war in the Congo, and recently the rebels took over the city of Goma in the Congo. And just not too far from Goma, I'm involved with five churches in the Congo, and I have a Bible school there. So I've been very concerned about what's going on in the Congo and the war there, and I've been praying about it. And God has been speaking to me that it's a very difficult time, but it's also a time of opportunity. See, oftentimes when we face challenges, it's a time for God to show forth His glory and His power. In the world, we are facing greater and greater challenges, and we need to have God show up in power in our lives to show, and God wants to do that. God wants to give us His favor and His power. And so instead of looking at the problems, we need to look at God. And God is very aware of what's going on in the Congo. God's very aware of what happened in Goma. And God's very aware of the people of God that are in Goma that are being affected by this. And the people that I know and other people know that are in the Congo facing these situations. And you may not be in the middle of a war right now, but you are facing challenges too. We are all facing increased challenges in this world, and we need the favor of God. And He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and favor increases in a time of difficulty as we grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so today I want to talk about how do we respond to the growing challenges. A lot of people get discouraged because of the challenges. No, the challenges are the time for God to do something and God to show forth His power. And so it says there that grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. So the title of my message today is Knowing God. The key to overcoming the enemy, the key to victory in the midst of conflict is knowing God. And as I was praying about this, the Holy Spirit brought back a verse to me that I hadn't thought of in many years. You know, Jesus said He's going to send the Helper, He's going to teach us all things, and He's going to bring things to our remembrance. And the Helper is the Holy Spirit. And an amazing thing about learning to walk in the Spirit is you learn to hear the voice of God. And you learn to understand the Word of God. See, the more you spend in the Word of God, the more you know God, the more you understand God, and the better you are able to hear God. And so I've been studying the Word of God for many years, and so the Holy Spirit will suddenly bring a verse to me that I haven't thought of in years. So the Holy Spirit brought a scripture to me as I was meditating on the Congo and the conflict there and growing conflicts in our world and thinking about this verse from 2 Peter 1, 2, that grace and peace will multiply in the knowledge of God, and started thinking about how we need to know God better. And so I want to look in Daniel chapter 11. a verse that this is the verse that God brought to me out of Daniel chapter 11. And you know, you may want to get a piece of paper and write down the scripture verses I'm going to look at today, and you can look them up later in your Bible and meditate on them and allow them to become a part of you. But in Daniel chapter 11, there was a great war happening between the north, armies in the north, or countries in the north, and countries in the south of Israel. And so Daniel was talking about this great battle going on between the north and the south in Daniel chapter 11. Then in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, in the middle of talking about this battle, Daniel says something very amazing. In Daniel 11, 32, he says, "The people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits." The people who do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Now, it didn't say that people know about God. There's a lot of people who know about God. Maybe they've studied about God. Maybe they've heard about God, but they don't really know God. See, I can know about the President of the United States of America. I can know about him because I can hear him on television or the radio. I can read about him. So I know about the president, but I don't know him personally, and he doesn't know me personally. And there's a lot of people that know about God, but they don't know God personally. See, and we need to come into a personal relationship with God, not just read about him or hear somebody else talk about him, but know him personally. And Daniel said, the people that know their God, really know their God, will be strong, will be powerful, and do exploits. Exploits are doing something great, something bigger than yourself, something you cannot do yourself. So as we get to know God, it makes us strong and it enables us to do things we cannot do ourselves. We may call them miracles, things supernatural, things that God gives us power to do, and that power comes out of a relationship with God, with knowing God. And Daniel was a man who knew God. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel was a Jew. He had grown up in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, but the Babylonians had conquered Israel and conquered the city of Jerusalem, and they took Daniel and many others into captivity into Babylon. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, says, "Then Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine that he drank." And so Daniel, when he got into Babylon, he arrived as a slave. He didn't know the Babylonian culture, he didn't know the Babylonian language, but Daniel knew God. See, Daniel had grown up, he was a young man, maybe 17 years old. He had grown up in Israel. He had grown up knowing the Bible, knowing the Old Testament, knowing the Word of God, knowing what God did and how God operated. So when the enemy took him into captivity, into Babylon, Daniel still knew God. He didn't know Babylonian language. He didn't know Babylonian way, but he knew God. And because of God's favor on Daniel, and it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God." Because God knew Daniel, God gave Daniel favor, and Daniel was, even though he was a slave, he was chosen to be trained in a special school to serve the king of Babylon. And when you went to the special school, you had to do everything that they told you to do and eat the food that they gave you, because they brought special food from the king's table, the king's house, for you to eat, and special wine for you to drink from the king's house. Because they wanted you to grow up to be very strong and to be well-educated and smart. And so Daniel had an opportunity. He was a slave, but he had an opportunity to serve in the king's court. But it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. See, Daniel knew God, and so Daniel made a decision in his heart. He was not going to compromise himself with what's going on in the Babylonian world. And Babylon often stands for the world. And so, you know, we have to make a decision. If we're going to know God, we have to make a decision not to compromise ourselves with what's going on in the world. See, Daniel had God's favor because he knew God. But he didn't abused the favor God had given him. He stayed faithful to God. And even when he was a captive in Babylon and a slave there, he still remained faithful to God. See, God is looking for people today, Christians today, believers in Jesus Christ today, who will not compromise themselves in the world. See, Daniel said, the people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. See, Daniel knew his God, so God had given him favor, and he was then, because he didn't compromise himself, he got promoted in the nation of Babylon. See, some people think you have to compromise yourself with the world to get promotion. Some people think you have to compromise yourself to get favor of people. See, we're not seeking favor of people, we're seeking favor of God. See, if you seek favor of people, you're going to be disappointed. We're not here to seek favor of people. We're here to seek favor of God, because favor from God gives us promotion with God. So Daniel, even though he was a slave from another country, because of God's favor, because Daniel refused to compromise himself, he was promoted in Babylon. And he, because of God's gifting for him to interpret dreams, he was promoted to, he became the second most powerful person in Babylon. That's what God wants to do with his people who do not compromise themselves, who will not defile themselves, people who know their God. He wants to extend their favor. See, this is a year of God's grace and multiplied favor, people who know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go on to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel now is the second most powerful person in the nation of Babylon. Now, Babylon back then was an empire. It was like America. It was the most powerful nation in the world. And Daniel had risen up to be like the vice president, the second most powerful person in Babylon. And people became jealous of Daniel. Other government officials became jealous of Daniel, and they wanted to get rid of him. And so they tried to find something wrong with Daniel, and the Bible says they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. Why? Because Daniel refused to compromise himself. Even though he was now a politician, even though he was now in the government of a very corrupt government, the Babylonians were idolaters, they were very corrupt and wicked people, but Daniel did not corrupt himself. Daniel remained faithful to his God. He knew God, and he remained faithful with God. And because of that, God promoted him, and he didn't compromise himself. So when they tried to find something wrong with Daniel, they could not find anything wrong with him. So the only thing that they knew that Daniel was very faithful to, and that was that Daniel was faithful to his God, and he would not compromise himself in his relationship with God. And so they went to the king and they said, King, you are a great king. You are the most powerful king in the world. You should make a law that everyone needs to worship you and not worship anybody else. And so the king said, man, that's a great idea. And so the king made a law that people could not worship anybody else except the king. And the people that went to the king, they knew that Daniel worshiped God and Daniel would not compromise himself. And so they set this law up as a trap to trap Daniel. And so in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel 6, 10, says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he knew the law was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, he's in the second story room, in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. See, Daniel knew God, first of all, because he knew the law or the word of God. Secondly, he knew God because he had a relationship with God. Daniel, it says, since his early days, he prayed three times every day. Daniel never missed praying three times every day. And for the Jews, they would pray toward Jerusalem because the temple was in Jerusalem. So they would pray toward Jerusalem. We as believers today, we do not need to pray toward Jerusalem. We need to pray toward God. We need to pray toward Jesus Christ. We don't focus on Jerusalem. When we pray, we focus on God and focus on Jesus Christ. So Daniel prayed three times a day. So he knew this law had been passed that anyone who prayed to anybody else but the king would be thrown into the lion's den to be eaten by lions. He knew this law had been passed. But he said he went home, as he always did. He went to upper room, the second story room, and he opened his windows. He didn't pray in hiding. He didn't keep the windows closed and hide inside his room to pray. No, he opened the windows like he always did, facing Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day. Now, the people that hated Daniel, that wanted to remove him from his position, they knew Daniel was going to do this. So when Daniel opened the windows to pray, they were standing down below and they watched Daniel pray. And Daniel knew he was disobeying the law of the king. But Daniel was not trying to gain favor from the king. His favor was in God. He knew that his favor was in God. This is a year of God's multiplied favor on people who are committed to God, people who are committed to Jesus Christ. So when Daniel knew the law had been signed, he went home, opened the window to his upper room, and prayed to Jerusalem. So the people saw him praying. They went back to the king and said, "Oh, king, didn't you pass a law that no one could pray to anybody else but you?" And the king said, "Yes, I did." And they said, "We have somebody who's disobeying your law, your good friend Daniel, the vice president, the one who serves right under you. He has violated your law. Now, according to the law, you have to throw him into the lion's den." And the king was very upset because he loved Daniel. Because Daniel was a good politician. Daniel was faithful to him. Daniel walked in integrity. He could trust Daniel because Daniel would not compromise himself. Daniel was very loyal to the king. So the king was very upset. But in the country where he's in Babylon, once a king made a law, no one could do away with that law. Not even the king could do away with that law. And so the king was caught. There was no way out. He had to throw Daniel into the lion's den. So he called for Daniel and he said, "Daniel, I'm sorry I made this law. I'm going to have to throw you in the lion's den. But I believe the God that you serve can save you from the lions." And so they took Daniel and they threw him into the lion's den with all these hungry lions. And they closed over the entrance to the lion's den. And then he was there all night long. So early in the morning, the king gets up and they remove the stone off the lion's den. And the king calls in there, and it's kind of like a big pit way down in the ground so the lions can't get out. And the king called down there, "Oh, Daniel, was your God able to save you?" And the king and Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever. Yes, my God was able to save me. He sent an angel to close the lion's mouth, and the lions could not harm me." So the king called his servants. They pulled Daniel out of the lion's den, and they took the very men that had plotted against Daniel, and they threw them and their families into the lion. And the Bible says even before they hit the ground, the lions had already begun eating on them. See, because Daniel, first of all, knew his God. It says there, the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Even when the enemy comes against us, even when things go wrong, even when people come against us, our favor needs to be in God. Our favor does not come from man. Our favor comes from God. We don't need to look to man. We need to look to God. And so this year is the year of God's multiplied grace and favor for people who look to God and not to man, like Daniel did, and will not compromise themselves the world. See, God is looking for a special group of people that he wants to promote in his kingdom, that he wants to use in a great way, even very ordinary people. You don't have to be somebody important. Daniel, when he came into Babylon, he was a slave. He had no authority, no power, no nothing. He had no money, nothing. But because he refused to compromise himself, he earned God's favor, and God promoted him to be very powerful. And even when he became very powerful, he would not compromise himself. So God delivered him from the lion's den, and the king passed a new law. And he said, "Everybody in my kingdom, you must worship only one God, and that is the God of Daniel." Why? because Daniel was a man who knew his God, was strong, and God did a miracle through Daniel. And God wants to do that. Now, as I was praying for Goma and praying for the people I knew who were near Goma, who are facing these challenges, you know, I pray that God, that they seek God's favor, they seek God's presence. And as they do, God will do miracles in their life. I remember when I used to go to Uganda, shortly after Idi Amin had left power. And there was a lot of rebels in Uganda and things. And I heard the testimony of a church in Uganda, up in northern Uganda, up towards Soroti area. And people used to hide their things inside this church so the rebels could not get to their things. And many people would flee to the church when the rebels would come. And the rebels would never attack the church. One day people asked them, why? They found some rebels and said, why do you ever attack this church? And the rebels said, whenever we come to this church, we see these great giants that are very tall with flaming swords standing around the church. And we drop our weapons and we run away. And because of that, we have never attacked this church. The church through the whole civil war in Uganda was a safe place because of God's favor on them. See, God wants to give his favor. He wants to protect us from the enemy. But we have to stand in integrity. We have to know God. Not just know about God. We have to know God. And we have to not compromise ourselves and walk in his ways. See, I believe God wants to raise up people like Daniel in Kenya, people like Daniel in Uganda, people like Daniel in Rwanda and Burundi, people like Daniel in the Congo. See, we are facing increased conflicts in the world. Troubles are going to increase. As the kingdom of God grows closer, it causes more conflict between Satan, the enemy, and God. And that increased conflict affects us. The key is that we don't seek protection from people. We seek protection from God. We don't seek help from people. We seek help from God. Our confidence and our faith is in God. And God, as we will refuse to compromise ourselves and know God, we will walk victorious and we will be conquerors in whatever situation that we're in. And the first key to coming to know God is you have to become a child of God. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must become a child of God. It's not just becoming saved. People say, I'm saved. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. No, you become a child of God. You know, a child submits to their parents. See, there are people who say they're saved, but they still live in the world. They don't live according to God's way. They compromise themselves. See, when you become a child of God, God becomes your father. He wants to take care of you, but you must submit to your father. You must look to your father. Not the father you have in this world, the father, your father God. So the first key to knowing God and having a relationship with God, you must be born again and become a child of Almighty God. Then you come under his favor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Anyone who defiles the temple of God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So Paul says there, we are the temple of God. When we are born again, we become the temple of God. God comes and lives in us. And in the temple, you can't have other things in the temple. You can't be doing things of the world. You are set apart to be holy to God. Now, one time I was ministering up in Niger, and I went way up north in Niger along the Sahara Desert where the people raised animals. And there were several small huts that were in a big circle, and there was one hut in the middle of the circle, and it was a community house. And everyone would come into this hut to eat together. So several families living together, but they all come into one room and they would eat together. And in the corner of the hut, in the corner of the house, was a clay pot. And this clay pot had drinking water in it. and everyone drank from the drinking water from that clay pot. That clay pot was not used for anything else but drinking water. You couldn't put regular water in there. It was water from a special spring that was good for drinking. They had to bring it from far. But that pot was only used for drinking water. It was not used for anything else. It was wholly set apart to drinking water, for pure water. And we as children of God are set apart to God. We can't allow garbage to be put in our life. We have to remain pure so when people drink from us, they receive living water from us. They don't receive impure water, water that has dirt in it and dead things in it and bad things in it. No, when people drink from us, they need to drink living water, water that's pure. We need to be set aside like that special clay pot that we're only used for God's purposes and not for worldly things. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're in Christ, you're a new person. You're born again. You are not the same person you are before. You know, I was first born an American, but now I'm a child of God. I'm not just an American. I'm a child of God. I don't do things the way Americans do. I don't think the way Americans think. I am a child of God. I live according to the Word of God and the ways of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 12, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. It says, therefore, brethren, he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to Christians. We don't live according to the flesh anymore. The flesh is our desires of the world. We don't live according to the flesh anymore. If you live according to the desires of the world, even though you're a Christian, you will die. Because you live according to the flesh. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We are a new creation. When you are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And the Holy Spirit helps you to be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Lord God, I just pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. If they've not accepted you as their personal Savior, if they've not been born again, I pray today they will confess their sins to you, they will repent and turn away from your sin, and they'll invite you into their lives, and they'll submit their lives to you and walk with you. I pray for every believer today, Lord God. You'll strengthen them by the Holy Spirit. Help them by the power of the Spirit to overcome the lusts of the flesh and desires of the world. Help them to be like Daniel and walk in integrity, not compromise themselves with the enemy, and to stand up strong and do exploits, wonderful things for God. Lord, we thank you that you want to pour your Spirit in these last days to raise up a generation of men and women who walk in the knowledge of God, walk in the Spirit, and will not compromise himself. And you want to use them for your glory in these last days. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person. Listen to the Voice of Hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I encourage you to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday. You can go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, and I post it all on my website. Have a blessed week walking with the Lord.